The primary mitzvah of Pesach night is V'gadat al Bincha Yom Olemo. It's one of the mitzvahs deraisa that we do. There are a lot of mitzvahs that we do on Pesach night, but many of them are only midirabbanan v'zman hazeh. So the only two that are still min haTorah is the mitzvah, of course, of achilas matzah and the mitzvah of sipur yetzias Mitzrayim. So let's just get a little bit of an understanding, since we spend the bulk of the time of the Seder trying to perform this mitzvah. Let's try to make sure that we perform this mitzvah properly. So there is an age-old question about the mitzvah of sipur yetzias Mitzrayim. Is to quote Tagore, Manishtana Lalazemich Alelos, what's the significance of this mitzvah on Pesach night? Typically, we have a mitzvah every night of the year, as we say in Tagore itself. There's a machlokes atanoim, whether you're supposed to speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim only by Yom, Mantiz Gos Yom Tzeis Chametzrayim Kol Yimechayecha, or whether there's a mitzvah to speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim Bein Bayom Uvein Balayla. So we paskin like Ben Zoma, we paskin like Rabbi Lozim and Azariah, that Kol Yimechayecha is Lerabos Asalelos. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim every single night. So what's the difference Pesach night? Last night I also spoke about Yetzias Mitzrayim. I said Kriyashma, I said the Brachi after Kriyashma. So we perform the mitzvah of Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim each and every night. So what are we adding? What are we gaining? What additional dimension of a mitzvah is V'gadat Olavimcha? So there appears to be that one approach to this topic is to say that really, you know, chinami, there really is not that much of a difference. That as long as a person just says, Ani Hashem Lokeichem, Ashatzeis Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, or a person says Kiddush on Pesach night, he says, Eich Letzias Mitzrayim, so shayt. So he was Yaitz in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's what the Rashba seems to say. Yes, the Rashba discusses why we don't recite a bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So one of the answers that's given is that we're ready Yaitz in the mitzvah. As soon as you daven Ma'ariv, you say Kiddush, it's Ein Lodav Ashir. As soon as you said one mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so then technically speaking, why Yaitz in the mitzvah. But that's usually not the conventional wisdom. We usually assume that there is some new dimension, there is something added on Pesach night above and beyond the rest of the year. And the question is, what is that? What exactly is that additional dimension of Pesach night? So we find a few possible differences between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as performed on Pesach night in contrast to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So one is, when we speak about Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, so the pashtus is, every night, we don't have to talk about any mitzvahs. This is not a halachic discourse every night. You just say, Ani Hashem Lokeichem Asher Yotzeis Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim. Finish. So you mention Yetzias Mitzrayim and Shoyin. You don't have to draw any conclusions. You don't have to say, oh, well, we got out of Mitzrayim, and therefore we do the following, and therefore we have the following mitzvahs, etc. You just speak about Ani Hashem Lokeichem, finished. When it comes to Pesach night, so we have a statement of Rami Gamliel, the famous statement of Rami Gamliel in the Seder, that's the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim, Kosh La'amah Shlosha Dvar BePesach LoYotzei DeChavaso, that if a person didn't mention these three mitzvahs, the Pesach Matzah Maror, he didn't fulfill his obligation. So it's unclear from Rabbi Gamliel's statement, what obligation didn't he fulfill? LoYotzei DeChavaso what? So there's a Machlekes Rishonim, so it tells us in the Ran, suggests that LoYotzei DeChavaso means that he didn't perform the mitzvahs of Pesach Matzah Maror. That the mitzvahs of Pesach Matzah Maror are not sufficient just to do a Maisa mitzvah, just to eat a kezias, but you have to actually talk about the mitzvah as well. So according to Tosa's interpretation, according to the Ran's interpretation, so Koshula Omash Loshadram Liyotzah Dechavasu is not even addressing Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's talking about how to perform matzah. So doesn't mean, the Ran says, it doesn't mean your mamish not Yotzah Matzah. Liyotzah Dechavasu, says the Ran, is a guzma, is an exaggeration. It means that you weren't Yotzah Lechatchila. It means you don't want Yotzah the mitzvah Bishleimusa. The proper way to perform the mitzvah of matzah is to eat the matzah and to talk about the matzah. If you only ate the matzah, didn't talk about it, LaYotzah DeChavasa, you didn't perform the lechatchilah way of doing the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and I've been talking about, says Naram, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, yes, you said Dayenu, you spoke about the, said the Asamakos, you told Avodah Mayinu, so finish, you'd say the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But if you look in the Rambam, Menuchos Chametz Matzah, so that's not the case. The Rambam writes that quotes Rabbi Gamliel's statement in the context of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam writes, if a person doesn't mention the mitzvah Salayla, so that he doesn't perform the mitzvah, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim proper. So according to the Rambam, this is a brand new dimension that doesn't exist the rest of the year. All year long, you just have to speak about the Nisim. You don't have to talk too much about them. You just say, V'yatzen Hashem Mitzrayim, and finish. On Pesach night, just to say V'yatzen Hashem Mitzrayim isn't enough. You have to say V'yatzen Hashem Mitzrayim, and Higyan Olal Zeh Lechem Matzah Maror, and you have to talk a little bit about the Pesach Matzah Maror as a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. How did the Rambam...
Does that mean there's a connection between the two? More so than the Ron and Tosfos?
Would it be a connection between which two?
In other words, between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matzah,
Yeah, according to the Rambam, it becomes part of the sipur, right. According to the Rambam, it's clearly the matzah, the chilus matzah morah, and pesach matzah morah becomes an integral part of the sipur yetzias Mitzrayim. How did the Rambam know that this is true? Where did the Rambam get this from? How did Rambam Gamliel get this according to the Rambam? So that sounds what the pasuk is saying, that we got it alabimcha bayom aleimor ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li betzesim Mitzrayim. So we know what the ba'avur zeh is referring to. So Chazal tells us ba'avur zeh refers to the Pesach Matzamara. That's what we say in the Haggadah. Yochom Erech Chodesh, I might think that you say the Haggadah from Erech Chodesh, or I might think that you say the Haggadah on Erev Pesach, tamalom ba'avur zeh. Ba'avur zeh lo amarit yod b'shashish Matzamara menachem lefanecha. So the word zeh refers to the Pesach Matzamara. So the Rambam seemed to learn pshat on the pasuk, that we got it alabimcha bayom aleimor ba'avur zeh. To talk about the Bavur Zev. If you don't talk about the Bavur Zev, then you miss the boat, then you miss the Ikra Mitzvah. So, according to the Rambam, the discussion of the Mitzvah Salayla is an integral part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, not only in terms of the bare minimum of the Mitzvah, but in terms of Kolamar B'Lasap Arezim Meshubach as well. We say in the Agada that the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim doesn't have a shiur to it. Kolamar B'Lasap Arezim Meshubach. The more the merrier, the greater Mitzvah there is. So we usually think that Kolamar B'Lasap Arezim Meshubach refers to speaking about the Nisim and the Makkas and all to go through all the Midrashim, all the Ramar Chazal, to elaborate upon the details of the historical events of the Pesach night. So if you look at the Tosefta Maseches Pesachim doesn't sound that way. The Tosefta writes, Ma'aseh b'Rabban Gamliel u'Zakeinim shehu oskim b'hilchos ha'Pesach kol ha'layla. That the Rabban Gamliel and the Zakeinim used to study Hilchos Pesach. They learned Maseches Pesachim the entire night. Why were they learning Maseches Pesachim the entire night? They could do that the next day also. Isn't Pesach night the night of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So what are you spending time learning Hilchos Pesach for? So the answer is that learning Hilchos Kabban Pesach is a kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That the Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua, they were Mesapim B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. They were focusing on the Midrashim and on the Mamar Chazal and on the historical events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Rabban Gamliel and Zakeinim had a different twist at their Seder. They also said that Gada, but they spoke more after the Seder was over. They spent the rest of the night learning Hilchos Pesach, and you get the impression that both are true. That it's not a contradiction according to the Rambam. It makes perfect sense, because according to the Rambam, if the Hilchos Pesach Matzah Marar are an integral part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's what the pasuk says. Ba'avur Zeh. So then when you learn Hilchos Pesach and Pesach night, when you discuss the Hilchos Korban Pesach, the Matzah, the Marar, and Pesach night, it's not just Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is also a wonderful mitzvah, but it's more than Talmud Torah. It's the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a kiyum of Kol Amar B'Lasapa Reizim Meshubach. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Pesach, that a person's supposed to stay up the entire night of Pesach, then be involved in the Sipur of the Nisim V'Niflos, as well as the delving into the halachas of the Korban Pesach and the Matzah Marar. That's all considered to be an extension of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, Ad Shtech Tefen Hashena, until he collapses from exhaustion, which is Baruch Hashem, usually by the Seder night is fairly early. So that's the staying up on Shavuos night is based on Sifrei Kabbalah. It doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch, doesn't appear in the Gemara. It's a much, much, much newer minhag. Whereas the staying up Pesach night is Mamash Mikar, is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but nobody got lost in the shuffle. So some of the reason is Ad Shtech Tefen Hashena, everybody falls asleep before the Seder is over. So there we go, I'd say that didn't Shulchan Aruch. There are other dimensions that the Seder night has that the rest of the year doesn't have. And one dimension is what we just mentioned before, Kolamar B'Lasaper, Reizim Meshuvach, that we don't find Kolamar B'Lasaper by Yetzias Mitzrayim of every day and every night. We don't do it every day and every night. We just say quickly, we say, Kadiyah Shem L'Kech V'Shat Seis Yitzchem Eretz Yisrael, and finish that discussion, and then we move on. We're at Pesach night, we have a whole long Haggadah, we have a Kolamar B'Lasaper. So the Pashas Advarim is that Kolamar B'Lasaper is only a din on Pesach night. The Mishkanos Yaakov in the Tshuva writes not that way. He assumes that Kolamar B'Lasaper applies every night of the year. We don't do that. We're not so ma'arech. I mean, we say Birchas Kriyishma a little bit more, but the Chorah, the din of Kolamar B'Lasaper is limited only to a Pesach night. What is supposed to be included in this Kolamar B'Lasaper? What are we supposed to talk about? So we mentioned before, but it's definitely supposed to talk about the historical events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we're definitely supposed to speak about the halachas. There appears to be a question: what about events that occurred immediately after Yetzias Mitzrayim? The Chasdei Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, performed for us many miracles immediately after that first Pesach night. Are we supposed to delve into those miracles as well? So the most obvious miracle is Kriyas Yamsuf. So there's Mamash Hashayla Pidin. What's the status of Kriyas Yamsuf? Is Kriyas Yamsuf considered to be the part of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because if not for Kriyas Yamsuf, we would have been right back in Mitzrayim building pyramids. Or do you say no? That Yetzias Mitzrayim l'chud or Kriyas Yamsuf l'chud. So Yetzias Mitzrayim is Leil Tezvav. You have to speak about everything that led up to the events and including Makos Bechoras, including the Yetzias Mitzrayim proper. What happened a week later on Shemisho Pesach, when we get the Shemisho Pesach, we'll sing songs about that. So what's the nature of the mitzvah der Aisa? We got it to Labincha. What's called Betzeisim Mitzrayim? Is Betzeisim Mitzrayim Leil Tesvav Nisan, Yom Tesvav Nisan, was B'tzeis Mitzrayim include the entire picture up into and including Adbar Bechlal, including Kriyas Yamsuf? Let's say a guy wants to sit down in the Seder and spend a lot of time talking about Kriyas Yamsuf. He doesn't spend too much time talking about the Yasa Makos. He's like, this year he wants to do something different, so he's got a lot of new Midrashim to talk about Kriyas Yamsuf. Is that appropriate at the Seder, or is that missing the point? That the point is supposed to be Marbi B'tzeis Mitzrayim. So that Shaila appears to be a machlokas between the Nusach for the Haggadah that we have and the Nusach for the Haggadah that the Rambam has. So the Rambam Menuchas Chametz Matzah writes you what the nusach, what the minig is, Kol Yisrael is to recite the Haggadah. What's the nusach of the Haggadah that we say? So the Rambam writes kimat verbatim what we have today. Yeah, the word here and there that a little bit different, but the 99.9% of it is just about the exact same Haggadah that we say today. But then at the very end of the Haggadah, so then everything changes according to the Rambam. That all those passages that we have at the end of Magid with the Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the 50 makas on Mitzrayim and 100 makas on Hayam, and then Rabbi Kivas, Rabbi Yossi Aglilis, and all those three passages that we say, the Rambam doesn't have in his Haggadah. Then the Rambam doesn't have Dayenu in his Haggadah. Imagine when his kids came up from school, they sang Dayenu, so his father said, no, you can't sing that, doesn't say in Haggadah. So the Rambam left out, never heard of Dayenu. If you ask most people what the most which song goes back to Yetzias Mitzrayim, to tell you Dayenu, so the Rambam never heard of it. So the Rambam goes straight to Rabbi Gamliel Omer at that point. So why does the Rambam feel that those passages don't really belong in the Haggadah? Those are Mamari Chazal, those are Midrashim, those are statements of Chazal. So why didn't the Rambam feel that they're appropriate for the Haggadah? So l'chora, the reason is that those passages in the Haggadah don't really focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim, they really focus on Kriyas Yamsuf. The point of those passages is to say, you think Yetzias Mitzrayim was something? Yeah, I'll tell you. Yetzias Mitzrayim, that was nothing. That was child's play. That was 10 makos. Alayam, local Chamisha makos. Alayam, local Chamisha Messiah makos. That's to be Magdil, the Gevalik and Nisim of Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Ram.
Yeah. Or maybe it's trying to explain, to understand one versus the other. In other words, just because I'm comparing one to another doesn't necessarily mean I'm not focusing on both.
Okay, maybe. But I think that the thrust of those psukim is, in a certain sense, to not really to minimize Yetzias Mitzrayim, but to maximize Kriyas Yamsuf. That's the point. We're saying that, wow, we just spent the whole night talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now I'll give you a real something to talk about, Kriyas Yamsuf.
Or you could say it's that it's this was one, this was the second, and Ani Hashem Rofecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to protect us all. That's sort of like the sikum of the whole issue.
Okay, so that's the question. Is that really?
Because it's not necessarily focusing on.
So that's the question. Where does Yetzias Mitzrayim end? Does Yetzias Mitzrayim end in Parshas Bo? Does Yetzias Mitzrayim end in Parshas Bishlach?
The thing is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises after the whole Maaser, he says, I'm going to protect you.
Okay.
So at the end, you got to say, so what is that bracha? How do I understand that bracha must be? I gotta go through all of the punishments.
Okay. Maybe. I know you want to sing Dayenu Achon, you can sing Dayenu Yisrael. If you want, it's okay. I won't come and criticize you.
Good.
As long as you don't sing the Dayenu part of every single stanza, I can't.
Every fourth.
My kids have noticed that as we're getting older, so it's switching from 4 to 6 to 8 to 16. So the Rambam Dafka left these parts out. Maybe the reason is that the Rambam held that Kriyas Yamsuf is not really an integral part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We who have this in the text of our Haggadah, and we have even Dayenu in the Haggadah, which is even past Kriyas Yamsuf a little bit. So maybe we're assuming that that's also considered to be part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim doesn't have to be such a brisk Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a din Yetzias Mitzrayim. Lel Tezvav means, well, we're out of Mitzrayim. We don't have to work for power anymore. We're saved in Yamsuf. That's also part of Ishtikul Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Achronim have a machleik is about this. Let's say a regular year, a regular night of the year, a regular day of the year. So a guy doesn't want to say Ani Hashem Elokechem Shotzeis Chemer Tzrayim. He doesn't like the Esamachos isn't exciting enough for him. He gets up in the morning and he says, Baruch Hashem Shekol Lano Sayom. That's his Chiras Yetzias Mitzrayim Shebechol Yom. Is he Yotzei Mitzvah? Not. So some Achrayim say, yeah, of course he's Yotzei Mitzvah. So he mentioned Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, it's all the same thing. Another Achrayim say, no, he wasn't Yotzei. That he has to say those magic words, Asher Yotzei Yetzias Chemer Mitzrayim. That Yetzias Mitzrayim, Luchudin Kriyas Yamsuf, Kriyas Yamsuf is like Mandor. Kriyas Yamsuf is post the story. The Iker story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Vayotzeinu Hashem in Mitzrayim. So that Machlek is Acharonim, Menuchas Kriyashma, can a person be Yotzei Yetzias Mitzrayim by talking about Kriyas Yamsuf, appears to be reflected in the two different ischals that we have concerning whether you say those passages in the Haggadah or not. There are other issues that come up in terms of the Sipat Yetzias Mitzrayim which don't exist concerning Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's in terms of a text of the story. So the Mishnah says at the end of Maseches Pesachim that you have to be Maschal B'Gnus Mitzrayim B'Shavach. You have to begin the Haggadah talking about the Shvacha situation, and you have to build up, you have to contrast to all the wonderful things that have happened. So what does that mean, Maschal B'Gnus Mitzrayim B'Shavach? So there's a Machlekes HaMaraim, whether that focuses on the physical Geula, whether that focuses on the spiritual Geula. So does that refer to Avadim Hayinu culminating with V'Yotzi Hashem, Yotzienu Hashem Mitzrayim, or does that begin with Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Seinu, focusing on the fact that we used to be idol worshippers, V'achshav Kivana Makom Levadah, so now we're Avdei Hashem. So the Gemara presents it as two opinions, Rav Shmuel, and the Halacha, we follow both of them. It could be that there was never really a Machlokas, it could be they both agreed that both parts have to be said. L'maisa, we insist on saying both. So to fulfill this deed of Maschel B'Gnos and Messiah B'Shevach, so we say both of them. So the Reb Chaim suggests that this din of Maschal B'Gnus Mitzrayim B'Shevach is a real din midaraisa. The Torah says we got it as a lashon sipur. So when you tell a story, so you have to have a plot, you have to have a whole development. You know, there's limits between a sentence and a composition and a short story. So in a long story, so sipur tzias mitzrayim is supposed to be a story with details. So if you're just going to get up and say ve'otzeinu Hashem mitzrayim, so says Reb Chaim, yeah, that's a very boring story. You didn't say anything. You have to say what was the first scene. The first scene was mitchilah. But as Arav said, the first scene was Avodah Hayinu L'Farm Mitzrayim. You have to develop a plot; it gets exciting. So Reb Chaim says that Din of Maschal B'Gnus Mitzrayim B'Shevach is mamish an integral part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That one wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah if you just say Ani Hashem Lokech B'Shevatzei Seschem Eretz Mitzrayim. You have to focus on the Avodah Hayinu. You have to focus on the mitchila of the Avodah Zarah as well, because that's what ultimately demarcates the mitzvah of Sipur of Magid from Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim the entire year. Therefore, since both of these Maschal B'Gnus and Messiah B'Shevach are accepted l'halacha, one should be careful that everybody is present for both of these parts of the Haggadah. The Poskim point out that it's important that women be present for all the critical parts of the Haggadah, because according to most Poskim, women are actually obligated in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a question why this should be so. Isn't it a mitzvah sesesh's man grama? But it could be that it's linked to the Matzah Moror, or it could be that this may be Afen Haibiyos. And there's a variety of reasons why we usually assume that women are obligated in the midst of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, the Rama already quotes from the Rishonim that we have to be careful that everybody understands what's going on at the Seder. So it does mean everyone has to understand every single word. If a person misses a few words of Dayanim, so the Rama also missed a few words of Dayanim, missed the whole Dayanim. So you're missing a few words here and there, it's not the end of the world. But if you don't understand the major component of what's going on, so that's a problem. That's not the proper fulfillment of the mitzvah. So therefore, the post can point out that the women should be present and they should be understanding, and the men should also be understanding. Everyone should be present and understanding the main parts of the Seder. So what are the absolute main parts of the Haggadah? So the Rambam Gamliel HaOmer, that's pretty important, because Loyotzi de Chavoso, either Tosos or the Rambam. And the other main parts are the Maschal B'Gnus and Messiah B'Shevach parts. So the Maschal B'Gnus and Messiah B'Shevach are either the Avodim Hayinu, Farb Mitzrayim, Yotzien Hashem Mitzrayim, so most people are there at that part of the Seder, because you just finished Manish Tanas, everyone's sitting there, and everyone's singing together, and okay, so everyone fulfills that mitzvah. But Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah sometimes gets lost in the shuffle, because you know, the kids bring out the big folds, and they talk about the Abba Bottom for an hour and a half, and then by the time you get to Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah, so the women are running to the kitchen to start getting things ready, so that's not right. So everybody should be present for Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah, V'achshav Kivan HaMachom Avodah, so that's an integral part of the Haggadah as well. We mentioned before that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is linked to the matzah. So we said that according to the Rambam, it's linked in a very real way. According to the Rambam, it's linked to such an extent that you have to speak about the matzah proper. You have to speak about the Pesach matzah more proper in order to be to the mitzvah. But even according to those Rishonim who don't accept that ironclad link, even according to Tosin and the Ran who say that one can fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim by just speaking about the Nisim technically, you don't have to really speak about the mitzvah Salayla. The mitzvah Salayla you have to speak about for other reasons, because that's a kiyum and the matzah, Pesach matzah more themselves, but Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim can involve just the Nisim. Even according to Tosin and the Ran, there is definitely a link between the two. There's definitely some connection between the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Magid in many, many different ways. L'mashal, the Gemara says that the passage that we quote in Haggadah, that Bavorzelo Amarti El Bashosh Ishmatsu Mor Menachem Lefanecha, that the Zman HaMitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is linked to the Pesach Matzah Morah. So one cannot say Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim Mi Ba'od Yom, Yochum Mi Ba'od Yom, Tamalama Ba'avorzeh. You can't start the Seder early, just as Tosfos Pesachim of Tzadik Tes writes, that you can't eat the Matzah early because it's not Laila Hazeh, you have to eat the Matzah Dafka Ba'Laila. we paskin that you can't even be makabel yontif early. You can't start the Seder early. A person wants to make an early yontif on Pesach, you can't do that because you can't be yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matz until laila hazeh. So too, the halacha is you can't begin the magid until laila either. You cannot start the magid mibod yom. You have to wait mamish until tzeiski chavim in order to begin the magid. Poskim say you can't even say kiddush mibod yom because kiddush is the first of the dalakosos. So all the mitzvahs of laila have to be performed by laila. You can sing kaddish urchatz before tzeiski chavim if you want. If you're singing a lot of different nigunim, different minhagim, then you can do that beforehand. But otherwise, you can't.
Sing
dayan. Oh, new kula. You can sing dayan before. Okay. So the point of the seder was to be al haseder. We don't want to do things shalom al seder. But anything which is part of the mitzvah halayla has to be dafka balayla after tzeis kechavim. And the reason why Sipitzis was right must be after tzeis kechavim is dafka because of this comparison between lo amarti al b'shoshe shmatzim mor menachem lefanecha. The poshup shot is that just as the Sipitzis Mitzrayim begins at the same time that the matzah mor begins, it also ends at the same time that the matzah mor begins, that the matzah mor ends. So when does the matzah mor end? So matzah mor is a machlekes atanoim. Whether the sov zman of achilas matzah is alosa shachar, or whether the sov zman of achilas matzah is chatzos. Shulchan Aruch we paskin, it's a sveik of the din, it's machlekes toys in the Rambam, how we paskin. So we have choshesh for all the shitas. Therefore, we always try to eat our matzah before chatzos. But the evidence of a person didn't make it even to motzi matzah till chatzos, he should eat the matzah anyway without a bracha. We treat it as a suffik deraisa l'chumra, but a suffik brachas l'kula. So we associate the end of the zman of achilas matzah either with chatzos or with alos shachar, whatever one's opinion is in terms of that machlokes atanoim. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, whenever is the sov zman of achilas matzah, that's the sov zman of sipitzis yis mitzrayim, because the two go hand in hand. Ba'avur zeh lo amartil b'shoshesh matzah mor menachem lefanecha. So here it may not be the same. Here it may not be true. So the Nitziv has a chiddush in his Haggadah that the mitzvah of sipitzis yis mitzrayim goes past the time of the actual achilas matzah. The Nitziv actually saw this in the Kol HaMarbel L'Saper Mitzvah Mitzvah Reza Meshubach, that all mitzvahs have a zman, most mitzvahs have a zman Mesuyam to them. Let's say if a person shakes a lulav after sukkah, so you wouldn't say, ah, Kol HaNotel Asa lulav Achrei Sukkah Sa Reza Meshubach. You would say, that's Bal Tosif. Well, let's say a guy makes Kiddush on Monday afternoon, so he says, well, Kol HaMakadish Sa Shabbos on Monday, Reza Meshubach. No, it's over, finish, Shabbos is Shabbos, it's over. Sukkah is Sukkah, it's over. So, L'Chora, the Leila Seder is over, either at Alosa Shachar, according to Rabbi Akiva, or Chatzos, according to Rabbi Loz Ben Azariah, finish. Just as there's no reason to eat matzah after that point, there's no mitzvah to say sibitzim. It's right after that point. And the Tziv said no. The Tziv says he thinks they call a marbe l'sapa reizim b'shulach is mechayev us to go a little bit past the zman. Unlike all other mitzvahs, there's an idea to continue on the story of Tzias Mitzrayim even after the technical zman of mitzvah. What prompted the Tziv to say such a chiddush? So he said he thinks that's the pshat in the next passage. And I got in the famous discussion of the Tanoim of Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shua, who were eating, who were celebrating the Seder in Bnei Brak. So there's the obvious question all the freshmen are going to ask. Why was Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah sitting at the Seder past Chatzos? According to him, Chatzos is over. According to Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah, after Chatzos, there's no Korban Pesach, no Matzah, more or nothing. So why was he still telling over the Sipitzis Mitzrayim? So many, many answers to this question. So the simple answer is that Rabbi Akiva was the rabbi. He was a Maisib in Bnei Brak. That's where it says. It took place in Bnei Brak. He was the chief rabbi in Bnei Brak. He has a street named after him, Bnei Brak, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah doesn't have a street named after him. He wasn't the rabbi in Bnei Brak. So that's the simple pshat in the story. So the Nitziv says no. The Nitziv says that Rabbi Loz ben Azariah held that apidin, you should continue to talk even after Chatzos, because kolamar b'lasap, if it's in the time, raising meshubach means to even extend past the zman a little bit. And he says that forget, even according to Rabbi Akiva, the passage in the Haggadah cannot be understood, because it says that the Tanoim was speaking, at shabal tamidayim ve'amla megir man kriyashma shal shachris. So his man kriyashma shachris is after alos shachar. According to Rabbi Akiva, the zman of Korban Pesach ends, the zman of Magid, L'chora ends at Alos HaShachar, so then they should have ended the Seder at Alos HaShachar. Why were they continuing past the point until Mishayakir, until the time of Kriyashma? So the Tziv says, you see from here that there's an Indian, even according to Rabbi Akiva, to extend past this man. So the question is that really ironclad Raya? That Raya is like a little working with like a modern day understanding of Zmanim. That you have a watch and you have a Luch Zmanim, and that Zmanim.com, you know exactly when Alos HaShachar is, exactly when Mishayakir is. In the olden days, it was very hard to tell exactly when this man was. So the Tanoim were inside, so they didn't know what time exactly it was outside. Nobody had a watch, and there was no atomic clock in Bnei Brak in those days. So they were disgusting, and when the Tamidim came, and they realized it was about time for Zman Krishma, they came in to stop them. It doesn't mean that Api Din, they were continuing past the Losa Shachar. They would have known it was a Losa Shachar. They would have stopped the Seder also. So the Netziv is assuming, no, that Api Alocha, that they actually continued past this man to fulfill this aspect, this dimension of Kolamar B'Losaper, Harez Mishubach. No, they were being misaper after the Seder is over. The says in Shulchan Aruch that after you finish eating and they finish everything else, finish the alkos, then you should go back and continue, not the formal maga, but continue to be misaper. There is another connection between the mitzvah sipritzis mitzrayim and the mitzvah halayla that's based on the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. The end of Pesachim, the Gemara says lechem oni. Lechem oni means a lot of different things. So lechem oni literally means a poor man's bread, which teaches us that you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Pesach night with matzah shira. You can't use matzah which has fruit juices in it. It has to be dafka, the bare minimum of poor man's bread, bread and water. Then the Gemara has other drushes from lechem oni. And then the Gemara says a lechem oni is a play on the word lechem she'onim alav devarim harbe. That oni here doesn't only mean a poor man's bread, but has a double meaning. There's a deeper meaning, lechem she'onim alav devarim harbe. They have to speak about the matzah. So what does that mean? You have to speak about the matzah. So Rashi says that the sipur tzias mitzrayim is supposed to be with the matzah there. And you're not supposed to talk about do the haggadah and then afterwards bring out the matzahs. The matzah is supposed to be on the table at the time that you're speaking about the matzah. So that's why not only is the matzah supposed to be on the table, it's supposed to be uncovered for Shas Magid. So that's why we end up with all these issues of playing games with the matzah cover, putting it up and over up. It's all to try to fulfill this din of lechem oni properly, that the sipur tzias mitzrayim is supposed to be on the matzah. On the other hand, anytime you pick up a cup of wine, so just as for Kiddush, we cover the challahs because we don't want to, it's not appropriate to emphasize the wine in the presence of the challahs. So when we say Kiddush, so we cover up the matzahs. When we pick up a cup of wine, so we cover up the matzahs at different points in the Seder. But the problem is people forget to uncover the matzahs. So it's better to uncover them. It's better to have more uncovered than covered, because if the matzahs are covered, so then you're losing this little dimension of lechem she'orim alav dvarim harbe. It could be a yaitze, that din of lechem she'orim alav dvarim harbe, even the matzah covered. That's not yehari v'yavar. But lechatchila, the proper minig is that the matzah should be uncovered at the time of the sipur tzias mitzrayim. Not only should the matzahs be uncovered at the time of sipur tzias mitzrayim, but Rashi writes that the matzahs are supposed to be uncovered at the time of the halal as well. Because Rashi says, lechem only, lechem she'orim alav dvarim harbe. What's the dvarim harbe? So Rashi says, dvarim harbe includes the halal as well. The she'orim alav is a haggadah, that the whole halal should be said in the presence of the matzahs as well. So there's a machlekes that we showed him. What exactly does it mean? He's supposed to say the halal on Pesach night in the presence of the matzahs. So Rashi's lashon seems to be that he's supposed to gomer malav zahal. He's supposed to finish the entire halal in the presence of matzahs. And the Meiri writes at the beginning of the halal, but says so Mitzrayim, the first two passages that we recite before the end of Magid, that should be done in the presence of the matzahs. It sounds from the Meiri that you don't have to have matzahs on the table later. You have to bench it. You take the matzah off. You clean up, and you don't have to have matzahs there. So there are many who have the practice of leaving some matzahs on the table for the duration of the Seder to fulfill the Shittas Rashi. That lechem only means lechem shegomer alav is a halel, so even that part of halel which is said after the benching, there should still be a piece of matzah left on the table. That's what we try to do. We try to leave at least one piece of shmur matzah, because matzah should be sitting on the table, should be uncovered, should be there, b'shas halel, to fulfill this understanding of Rashi, of lechem she'on malo dvarim harbe. It said over in the name of the Brisker Rav, that he was of the opinion that one should leave the matzahs on the table the whole night, as long as you're being misapir b'tzias mitzrayim. Let's say, the Seder is over, so now 2 o'clock in the morning, the guy's sitting and learning Hilchos Pesach, the guy's telling over, reading a medrash, is doing everything that he's doing, is an extension of the kiyum of kol amar b'lasapir b'tzias mitzrayim reizim ha'shubach. So lechem only teaches us lechem she'on malo dvarim harbe, that the whole sipur tzias mitzrayim is supposed to be in the context of the whole sipur tzias mitzrayim is supposed to be in the context of the matzah. So anything, the more the merrier. Any time that you're continuing off the sipur tzias mitzrayim, so 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, you're still up, you're still rolling, you're still telling over shtickl teiras. So you should have the matzah there. That's a greater fulfillment of lechem only, lechem she'orim alav dvarim harbe. So once you keep the matzah on the table, lechatchila, I think for the entire seder, and then afterwards also, we have this in the house all the time. The matzah sitting on the table at the end of the seder. So then my wife starts to clear off the table, so I go back to the kitchen and put another piece of matzah. Every year I explain to her that I want to have the matzah on until I fall asleep, and every year she forgets, she clears it up. And this is an ongoing crisis in our house. Baruch Hashem, we have said many more such crises.
On Pesach night, you're supposed to say the Hallel with the matzah on the table. We where did the minhag come from to say halal and shul?
Yeah, halal and shul is a whole different story. And halal and shul is a machlokes, what they're even supposed to be saying in the first place. It says in Masechah Sofrim that you're supposed to say halal with a bracha and shul on Pesach night. There are different reasons for that halal. So that halal is not really the same halal as the Seder night. That may be the halal on the Seder night, maybe a halal on mitzvah, the halal on shul, maybe halal on the yomtif, that Pesach night maybe is a separate yomtif, or some rishonim seem to say that the halal and shul was instituted in order to recite a bracha, and that bracha is going to pop to the halal later. There are a variety of reasons why, but it's a different type of a halal. So even though it says it in Masechah Sofrim, the one that's supposed to say that halal, there were different minhagim that existed and within Klai Yisrael, whether we accept that Masechah Sofrim or not, because the Gemara doesn't mention it. Masechah Sofrim says you're supposed to say the halal with a bracha on Pesach night and shul. Right, the Gomer was a halal b'bat the knesiyos. It's supposed to say a full halal and shul right after davening on Pesach night. So the Rav had his own interpretation of that halal. The Rav, based on the Gra, said that the halal and shul on Pesach night is like the lighting of Chanukah candles on shul. That whenever you do a persume nisa, so you do it on a private level and you do it on a public level. So the private persume nisa. It's a funny term, private persume nisa, but it means in the context of your family, so you do that at home, like you light Chanukah candles at home, and you say the halal at your own private seder. But before you do that, you make a public persume nisa, so that's where we light Chanukah candles in shul, as a public persume nisa with a bracha, and we also say the halal on Pesach night as a public persume nisa as well. So there are different minhagim about the recitation of halal on Pesach night. So there are more quotes that the minig in many of the Ashkenazi communities was not to say it altogether. And others disagree. The Gra held is supposed to say it. The Shulchan Aruch is supposed to say it. The Hasidim, they say it. So it's become there are different minhagim within Klai. So I think in Eretz Yisrael, everybody says it. If I'm not mistaken. All the shuls in Eretz Yisrael. No. I think so. If I'm not mistaken. I think in Eretz Yisrael, all the shuls say it. And I think the reason is, for the same reason we've said before, to understand the minhagim of Eretz Yisrael, so you have to just understand three historical factors. There were three factors that went into being conveyed the minhagim of Eretz Yisrael that we have today. So one was the Sephardim, because the Sephardim were in Eretz Yisrael even before the Ashkenazim came back in the 1800s. There was the Sephardi community in Eretz Yisrael. And another factor was the Tamidi Hagro came in the early 1800s, the forerunners of the Prushim, you know, of the old Yeshuv that exists, in Yerushalayim at Hayom Hazeh, and also the Tamidim of the Baal Shem Tov. A group of them also came in the early 1800s. Also were found as part of the founders of the old Yeshuv as well. So there were three different halachic forces that went into being determining what the minig in 2009 of Eretz Yisrael is. So some, every once in a while you have that these three minhagim all agree to the same thing. So not always, but sometimes you had situations that the real hardcore Sephardim with the Tamidi Hagro, with the Tamidi Baal Shem Tov, all came to the same conclusion. If that's the case, that has become predominantly the minhag Eretz Yisrael. So you find that in a few areas. You find it by Tefillin and Chol HaMoed, that the Sephardim don't wear Tefillin and Chol HaMoed, and the Tamidi Hagro didn't wear Tefillin and Chol HaMoed, and the Hasidim didn't wear Tefillin and Chol HaMoed. So that became, when you have all three of them, the coalition rules and they take over the whole country. So that's what happened in terms of Tefillin and Chol HaMoed. And if I'm not mistaken, I think you have the same thing when it comes to halal and shul on Pesach night, because the Shulchan Aruch quotes the practice of saying the Sephardim say halal and shul on Pesach night, the Hasidim said say halal and shul on Pesach night, and the Tamidi Hagro said halal and shul on Pesach night. So when those three forces come together to the same conclusion, that becomes the minig in Eretz Yisrael. So if I'm not mistaken, I think that's the minig at Yom Hazeh in America and Chutz Laaretz. So there are different places. There are Yesh V'Yesh. Some shul say halal, some they say halal. They say it Pesach, I don't know.
Afterwards,
they give the option of saying halal afterwards. Okay, optional halal afterwards. That's what I grew up. That's what a lot of the shuls used to do. They used to give the optional halal. So the Rav wasn't too excited about that idea, because the Rav thought that the halal is supposed to be part of the tefillah. It's supposed to be. This is like the Rav and Neres Chanukah, that you can't just get 10 people together and start lighting Neres Chanukah. It has to be part of the tefillah. That's called Pesach Menisa Derech Tefillah. So those people who really want to fulfill the Rav's angle of this halal, so should really do it mamish in the tefillah. The problem is you have a shul that doesn't, the minhag is not to say it. So when I was the Rav in Paramus, so it was a Yekesh shul, so they didn't say the Ramaz minhag is the old Yekesh minhag was never to say halal on Pesach night. So I knew Richie Ram, we used to do. So we used to put together a minyan after davening also. So the minyan was made up of the two forces. It was all the Iranians, all the Persians, their minyan was to say hello. And the rest was all the Samets, was my all my family. So I used to bring all my brothers-in-law, when they were single, they still come from Pesach. So between the two of us, we always had a minyan of people who said hello. Of course, if I'm not mistaken, I think my father-in-law's minyan was not to say hello on Pesach, but I convinced everybody otherwise because I needed a minyan, so we changed everybody's minyan. So we all converted to become Sephardim for the day. So anyway, so we used to say...
In Christ after
So we used to say Hallel with a minion. The only thing is that I used to be concerned that according to the Rav's Shtikl Torah, you're not really yotze the Hallel that way. It's supposed to be Dach and Tefillah. But I couldn't explain to the people in the shul that I wanted to say it in Tefillah. That wasn't the Minhag HaMakom. So we had the Pshara, so like they do here, so we'd say it afterwards. So in the early years, so I'd make a bracha like always. Then it used to bother me to make a bracha, so finally I used to get one of the... So Herzl Benji used to... one of the Svaradim used to always be motzi me in the bracha. He would always say... So twice a year, I would always hear the bracha of Ligmor Sahalo. Like the Svaradim, when they say Hallel, they don't say Likro Sahalo, they say Ligmor Sahalo. So that was twice a year. The two nights of Pesach, my bracha would be Baruch Ano. I would answer Amen to his Ligmor Sahalo. Now that we started the Schulenberger Field, so we could decide whatever minhag we wanted. So we're kaveh the minhag that we say Hallel with the bracha right after Shemoneh Esrei, which is the minhag that the minhag Agra, and that's the minhag that the Rav preferred, and others before and afterwards. Again, yesh elav elav, different minhagim in Klal Yisrael about this. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So the lechem oni, teaches us that there's supposed to be a kesher between the Sipitz Yisrael and the Mitzvah Salayla. So we find that this link between the Sipitz Yisrael and the Mitzvah Salayla expressed itself in so many different ways. According to the Rambam, that's the root of Rambam Gamliel HaOmer. And even if you don't accept the Rambam, there is a relationship between the two mitzvahs in terms of the beginning of the Zman, the end of the Zman perhaps, in terms of having the Mitzvah Salayla present in the context of Sipitz Yisrael. So call upon him. The mitzvah of Sipitz Yisrael at first looks very similar to Zechirus Yisrael, but then you realize that it's not the same. There are a lot of differences. You have to talk about the mitzvah Zalayla, Masav Gus Zayim Shevach. Reb Chaim says you have to have Shelu Tshuva. You don't have to ask any questions the rest of the year. You don't ask Manishtan on a regular night, but on Pesach night it has to be Derech Shelu Tshuva because that's part of Magid, that's part of Sipur. So there are many, many differences of the halacha that are highlighted in terms of the fulfillment of this mitzvah of Sipitz Yisrael problem. But here it's more an extension of lechem only. Lechem she'oni below verm har, but that additional dimension of lechem only, that was only said
next week.
Next week should we have a shiur? People are around.